coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. It's here. It's Masters week. I'm headed to Augusta National. I can't believe I'm saying those words. We break down every angle of my trip to the Masters. And the week ahead, as Tiger status has everybody in the golf world talking, plus Mike spent a week at the Korn Ferry Tour stop in Savannah, Georgia, and has a recap and behind the scenes. And we're tuned into a new sitcom and a classic sitcom. This week's guest is Fred Ivanko. He's the CEO and founder of Lynx Drinks. They make a transfusion in a can. It's a great little drink I love on the course. You need it in your life. Plus, we wrap with March Madness, Coach K's heartbreak, baseball opening day, Masters food, and we hollow, and we always end with food. And all of it is brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, makers of the Phone Caddy. We talk about it every week. The Phone Caddy is your go-to companion that fits right on the side of your golf cart. It's easy to use and view everything on your phone all day long. No more fumbling around the dark spaces of your golf cart, dropping your phone in the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. The Phone Caddy keeps you locked in safely. For our listeners, you can save 10% off with the promo code Course of Life. That's promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com for 10% off. Again, promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com to save on your Phone Caddy today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Tosi Snacks, and Volvic. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was the Valero Texas Open, everyone's favorite tournament to see if someone will get to punch their last-minute ticket to Augusta. And we got a new guy. JJ Spahn gets the win on his 147th PGA Tour start, and he is going to Augusta National.
Yeah, pretty cool, because this is a guy that's definitely a journeyman. I've seen his name on many leaderboard before. He has haunted the Korn Ferry Tour, Q Schools, all the like and in between. He's had his chances on the PGA Tour, hasn't quite come this close to winning, but when he got the opportunity, he really sealed it with some clutch putting down the stretch on the back nine on Sunday, something that you don't always see from a guy winning for the first time. So it was impressive. You could tell how much he fought for it. And it's always cool to see when a guy last second punches their ticket to Augusta. Just he goes through the whirlwind now of winning and just getting vaulted into an airplane. And then he lands at Golf Mecca all of a sudden playing in the Masters. So really cool moment for JJ Spahn.
Yeah, it's a pretty spectacular way to punch your ticket through to the very last minute. You know, I think it's a pretty good excuse to be like, I got to spend a lot of money on a flight now to Augusta.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, it's honey, you know, wife, kids, family, that lunch next week. Yeah, you know how I said I was going to come over next weekend and watch with you guys? I'm not watching anymore. Yep. I'm playing. No. So we're going to ramp them with those plans back. That's cool. Yep.
Pretty good excuse. He had some of our picks for the week chomping at the bit. Your guy, Matt Kuchar, was sniffing the lead all week, just couldn't get it done. And my guy, Keegan Bradley, made a run at the end there, too, 66.
He had a good week, too. Both of those guys were part of my picks in my Run Your Pool article weekly. Maverick McNealy had a decent showing at the end with, I think, a backdoor top 15 or 20. But yeah, Kuch was near the lead the whole week, just couldn't close things out when he needed to on Sunday, and just kind of faltered when he needed to take advantage of some birdie holes. So nonetheless, I do fall short. You and I each both have a win under our belt with our Twitter picks. So stay tuned to those. I'll obviously throw picks up on my Run Your Pool article. And there I'm at Course of Life One Twitter for those picks. And you're at MWRINC.
Of note, this past weekend as well was the Club Car Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. We don't always talk Korn Ferry very often, but we're going to, because I was there all weekend. It was right in my backyard here in Savannah. And TJ Vogel gets it done on Sunday to take the W. Different leader almost every single day. It was just going back and forth, that, yeah. These guys. And TJ Vogel, not just a victory for himself.
Good stuff. Yeah, I know TJ Vogel because he is part of that Monday Q circle. He has qualified for several PGA tournaments via the Monday qualifier. So definitely another journeyman story right there. And it was good to see him lock the win up and get some status. I'm curious, for your experience, your first time taking in a Korn Ferry event like that. It's interesting because you get to see guys that are a friggin' awesome right on the precipice of the PGA Tour, and it's a very intimate viewing experience. What was your take from kind of a front row fan perspective watching during the week?
Yeah, you know, I was volunteering as a marshal the whole week, and for most of it, I was sitting right between the 11th green and the 12th tee box. So got to see them finishing on the par four and then teeing off on the par three. These guys are just once again, we were not gifted with any talent when you watch a professional golfer kind of do their thing. I think more than anything, what strikes me is the sound that the ball makes when it is struck.
Yes.
It's just so it really is. Did see a couple names out there that we all know, like Bo Van Pelt was in the field. So was Sean O'Hare.
I think we all see him on the leaderboard. Yeah, I hadn't heard that name in a while.
He made a run. He posted a 66, six under on Sunday to try to give himself a chance and get up there in the rankings. So,
Korn Ferry is not just for the youngins. It's for the guys like that that have bounced to the top of the world golf ranks and fallen down or looking to get back to that original form that they had earlier in their career. So lots of opportunities out there. I guess from an actual playing perspective and watching the amount of golf shots that you watched up close with your own eyes, one of the keys I took away from the match play a couple weeks ago, and I can't wait to see what I pick up at Augusta when I'm phone free and just locked in all day. But at the match play, I noticed these guys were really using the ground a lot around the green and hitting a lot of short chip shots, bump and runs, and really weren't needing that much loft. From a golf perspective, what would be the coolest thing that you took away watching the pros there?
I think also how, which we see even on TV, is how upset they seem to get with a shot that isn't that bad and how they can forget it as soon as they get up to that next shot. You know, that amnesia is something that I think we all strive for and we just can't do. So,
yeah, well put. That's cool. I love hearing and seeing that behind the scenes experience. Check out COL Podcast on Instagram for more content like that. But that's a good take, and I hope you visit the tournament in future years ahead. And I'm hearing what you mentioned to me that they're going to be they've been having Q school there, so you're going to have more to golf in Savannah.
I think I heard the club car is going to be here in Savannah for another like 4 or 5 years. It's already been here for about 5.
Nice.
And Q school was here last year, and I heard that Q school will be here again this year. So maybe I'll be back out there to the landings in Savannah to check out Q School later this year.
Cool stuff. Love the content.
Let's talk about what's coming up this week. There's this little town in North Georgia. I don't know if you've heard of it, Alex, called Augusta.
Tricky airport to fly into, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Quaint little town, sleepy town, except for this like 1 week in April when everybody says, ooh, Augusta, and everyone's eyes are on it. And I think they're going to have all their eyes on it this year because a certain someone is going to be there on Tuesday, namely you. They're all going to be paying attention to you this week.
That's what it was. Yeah, I knew there was a lot of focus around Tuesday specifically, and it is going to be for my arrival, definitely. No, it's obviously the headline coming into this week was that it was unofficially a game time decision to play for Tiger Woods. And regardless of what happens and what we see Thursday morning from Tiger, let's just kind of speak really in generality surrounding this. The idea that Tiger Woods has not only tested his leg at Augusta National the week prior with a full-on practice round, but he's really contemplating giving this a go in a major championship about 13, 14 months removed from that deadly near-deadly accident is just nothing short of a miracle and needs to be repeated a few times. Really crazy stuff.
Yeah, I still just don't think he should play. but I don't think I'm going to be surprised anymore if he does play.
Yeah, man. I mean, he loves it here. He's obsessed with this. You can tell how rigorously he's been working in the rehab process to play more often and put pressure on it. Now, it's different from what I hear. I'm going to come back on next week's episode and tell you how tough the walk is. That's what everyone's telling me, is how tough the walk is at Augusta. And this is not your average Florida flat golf course like you and I are used to. So we're going to see what potentially kind of strain that puts on his body as he goes through practice rounds and potentially tees it up on Thursday or Friday. So that's obviously going to be the number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 storylines of the week. It's interesting now. I wanted to touch on, you know, headlines and what's, it piques our interest, but you and I both know that a lot of these top world tier player headlines are going to get overshadowed by everything with Tiger.
It is. You know, it's, and I think even Rory came out and said that having Tiger there would just be fantastic for the game. There's no doubt it would be fantastic for the game to have Tiger out there in the field. But there's still plenty of other guys out there that are worth having in the field and talking about that are going to have a much, 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 much better opportunity to win than Tiger.
I think Tiger's going off at like 40 or 50 to 1 for what it's worth. So that's implying that there's at least a list of 10 to 15 guys that are more lowly favored than him. Let's start there with Rory. He's trying to compete the career Grand Slam with a win at the Masters. You know, going all the way back to the beginning, he had that close call here in the final round 80, I believe. And he's never really fully come back at Augusta since. I have this feeling like he's really garnering a lot of momentum heading into Augusta this week. It just seems to end up being too much for him every year and around year when this comes around. Are you feeling Rory this week or not?
You know, I just feel like Rory recently just can't seem to get it done in majors in general.
Yeah.
Right. It does seem like, especially at Augusta, where it just bit so hard on him, that it's like we want to see him kind of regain that that pros and be able to win at Augusta. But I just don't know if he can overcome the demons and do it.
Yeah, I know. It's tough because I really want to back him this week. I'm seriously contemplating it, but he's had a lot of issues here, especially with the flat stick. Down the stretch when he really needed putts to fall here. So I'm definitely watching him. He's on my short list of guys to watch here at Augusta and definitely hoping for the best for him this week.
So then what do you think about world number one, Scottie Scheffler? We talked about it last week. You still didn't seem to think he was going to win a major this year. We've had another week for you to think about it. Is he going to put on a green jacket?
Yeah, he's got good. He's got decent course experience here as well, too, and a solid finish under his belt already here. So, I mean, he's the hottest golfer in the world, as I dawned in the last couple of weeks. It's official. So, and he's made that loud and clear. It's going to be tough avoiding picking him. It's going to be tricky for me to also avoid picking Hideki Matsuyama as the defending champion. But the problem is he's got a little bit of a tweaked neck, which had him pulling out of the Valero Texas Open. So I don't know if my dollar or two is going to go towards a title defense for Hideki. That's one player I wanted to address that I'm not sure I feel comfortable backing this week just because of that little lingering injury.
So what about John Rahm, who's really one of the favorites almost every single week, and he's certainly a favorite here once again. Is he going to be a guy who's going to put on a green jacket after this season he had last year?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of one of the guys I'm zeroing in on, and his odds aren't fantastic. He's a tier one player in pools. You know, he's a low value, low odds guy, but it feels right about now. He's got the U.S. Open under his belt. He feels like he's in a very good place in his life and with his game right now. He's not necessarily lighting up, but he's coming in with just enough form to feel right and get back to a familiar golf course. So he's a guy that's definitely going to be on my list.
All right. There's so many other guys in here. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick out someone from further down the list. And I want you to tell me whether or not we should put a dollar on them.
Okay.
And it's going to be, I really wish Keegan Bradley was in the field because I feel like he'd be easy money right now to put on because of the way he's been playing, but he's not. So instead, I'm going to throw out a past champion who's sometimes playing well and sometimes not, Bubba Watson.
Yep. You read my mind. I was about to take those words right away from you, Mike. Yeah, it's going to be hard not to. Again, the myth is so true. It's not very mythical. Augusta National and just the way the holes are shaped, lots of dogleg lefts that favor lefties with a nice cut off the tee. That's why Mike Weir's won here. That's why Phil's had so much success here. That's why Bubba Watson's won twice here. It's not a mystery there. So again, he had a decent showing at the Dell Match Play as well, too, leading in. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see if he garners any of that past championship form. But this is a great familiarity to course type of week. You know, guys that just love being back here. This is their annual pilgrimage. They get a lot of good vibes and good juju and good memories here. So, yeah, the answer is yes. Why not throw a dollar on Bubba for just a little reconnaissance and an old guy turning back clock a little bit.
That's right. It's going to be a fantastic week, as it always is at Augusta. It is, I think, without question, our favorite week of the year. Also because it just has the best television coverage of all time, in that it is just nonstop. And what's really exciting is that we're going to get some more behind the scenes from this, because you'll be on the course on Tuesday. So you'll be able to report everything from the practice round, how the course is for walking, the food, which we'll talk about later in this week's episode. So let's let everyone know, though, like what is actually happening on Tuesday for you
practice round? Simple, flying in with one stop to Augusta Monday evening. Going Tuesday, grounds passes all day, flying out Wednesday, moving on with life, heading on to beaches and perfect scenery. But it's Tuesday. It's the practice round. It's the day that they skip the balls across the water on the par 3 16th. You remember John Rahm had that unbelievable hole in one, skipping the ball across the water. So someone's looking to repeat that feat. But the bottom line is, it's me at Augusta, and it's a bucket list item that's being checked off. But one thing that you have to keep in mind, which makes the Augusta and Masters trip very different, Mike, is there's no phones allowed at the Masters. Okay. So I have gone out, I've found on the internet two disposable Kodak cameras. They each have 27 snaps, Mike. So I got a total of 54 pictures. And you know how this worked back in the old days. You don't get a second go. You can't look at the picture and decide if you want to take another
one. And these disposable cameras, you can't zoom. You can't do that with these.
That's
either.
It. So my zoom is me. I'm the zoom. If I want to get an up close shot, I need to be up close. So this is old school for a day. Conversations with friends, getting to know people, looking them in the eye. It's going to be downright scary, to be honest. But I'm looking forward to the experience.
Can't wait to hear all of it and see what you think as well and how that may impact your picks. That will go up on Twitter on Wednesday, and I'll be there as well. And we'll see how the week goes, and we'll report back next week, and we'll let everybody know what
basically happened. I'm going to go ahead and old school develop the film at like CVS or Walgreens, and then I'm going to take pictures with my phone of the pictures that I develop. And that's what I've got in my mind.
You know, I think CVS or whatever may actually like give you digital prints as well. Okay. I'm pretty sure they will. So
I appreciate that service on their part. So I'll get those done as well too. But yeah, the plan is pretty much simple. Walk the course, get as much fun time in as I can during the day, put chairs down, watch everyone practice, hunt down Tiger. I've got the Masters flag, Mike, with Jordan Spieth and Ben Crenshaw already autographing it at the match play. So I got two Masters champs on it now, and I want to add a few more. But those are the main goals. As far as the merch tent, the one thing that I did learn, Mike, is I can get all the merch shipped back home. I don't have to lug it around me all day.
Yeah. I was going to say, how much merch are you going to buy? How much? What's the dollar amount you plan to drop in merchandise?
In my mind, I have $150 to $200 locked in. That's the number I've got in my head. I've got already a few people's shirts. I've got the pint glass. I want some sort of fun kitchen accessory that can go with me for a lifetime. What are your thoughts? What would you want to take away from the Masters with the Masters logo on it? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the polo is kind of quintessential. Yeah. I see a lot of those here in Georgia just on its own. You see a lot of people with Masters polos. But besides that, you got to have some sort of mug or glass with the logo on it too. I think that's pretty classy.
Yeah. So I think that's the move. That's the budget right now, but I could get carried away. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But nonetheless, follow along at COL Podcast. I'm at Course of Life Alex on Instagram. So you can check out what comes of my week at Augusta. I can't believe it, but I'm checking it off, and I can't wait to see the course.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to hear about it on next week's episode.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I dipped back into a classic sitcom that we all know and love, and that was used in a Super Bowl commercial, and that would be Scrubs.
Oh, wow.
Everyone's favorite TV doctors.
A perfectly awkward sitcom from the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Shout out, I'm No Superman. Great TV theme song as well, too.
It is.
Yeah, Scrubs, a really kind of new brand of humor for that medical comedy type of genre. And I feel like a lot of them set to follow in its path. And Zach Braff in his prime, for sure.
Yes, Zach Braff, Donald Faison, just the perfect buddy duo throughout the series.
So. Yeah, that's a great watchback series. And they went several seasons, too. That show, I think that's one of those shows that maybe went on a couple of seasons longer, and the network picked it up, and it may have gone a little bit longer than need to, but it was a great run.
Yes, yes. What's got your attention on the boob tube there?
Yeah, new sitcom as well, too, that just debuted on CBS, and it's called How We Roll. And basically, it's actually the real-life depiction and story of bowling pro Tom Smallwood, and basically his life as just an ordinary Joe, normal, you know, husband guy in his 30s that's wondering what he's doing with his life, and finally he gets the courage to drop everything and pick up a career in pro bowling because he's really good at bowling. And things work based on what I know about Tom Smallwood, but we're about to find out as season one unfolds on CBS. The real question I have for you, Mike, is, you know, the dream of being a pro at something, anything, whether it's athletic or not, how long did you have that in your childhood? Because mine didn't probably last very long, and I'm just curious how long yours did.
I don't think it ever was particularly long in any sport at all to go pro. No, I don't think it was really ever there. I don't think there ever was a thought that I would do that, you know, to make money.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously was dreaming as like a middle schooler learning the game of golf, thinking I could actually do it professionally, and looking at the purses on PGA Tour events, thinking I could actually be part of that. But alas, by the time I got to high school and I saw the real competition out there, I quickly realized that maybe just being a better golfer in my league was about my max. And that's indeed what it was. So anyways, it's a cool sitcom about the dream of being and going pro and taking that leap. So it's How We Roll on CBS.
All right, let's get into this week's guest. Alex, some diehard listeners may have noticed that our 19th hole question in the interviews, which is our marquee question to ask our guests, is now presented by Lynx Drinks.
Yes, it is. This week, we're chatting with the guy who created the company as well, too, Freddie Vanco from Connecticut, a state you and I know very well, where we met as well. So
it's true.
It was cool to connect with him at the PGA show. And I loved trying the product, and we'll get all into the product, how it got created, and its expansion as well, too. That's all coming your way.
We'll get to that conversation in just a moment. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf ball out there on the course. It's the Volvic golf ball because it's colorful. It does everything we expect it to do. It's nice and soft around the greens when you got the XT soft. And I feel like I'm getting better scores. Overall,
you see me rolling some putts the other day in my practice session. It's nice to have a nice shiny yellow ball when you're practicing. You know what I mean? No mistaking whose balls are whose. And I love the XT softs, and the Vivid is officially out as well too. If you want to check out that new line of balls that Volvic just put out, in addition to the XT soft, which I love.
Yep, the Vivid comes in a whole range of colors, and you can get it in a multi-pack, so you can get all the colors, which means you can have the same color sock, shirt, and golf ball when you're playing the game, which is just like huge. Game changer. Hashtag game changer. So head on over to Volvic.com. That's VOLVIK.com. And go ahead and check out the Vivid and the XT Soft, plus everything else they have there. They've got merchandise, towels, accessories, some really cool collectibles, like some Marvel-themed golf balls. You can have some superheroes on your balls as well for the superhero that you are or the one in your life that you want to give a ball to. So again, it's Volvic.com, performance in color. Volvic has a ball for every swing.
Next up on the tee, you've heard us mention their tasty transfusion in a can, which I recently brought out onto the course and loved. We featured it in our interviews as well. And now we have the co-founder and CEO of Lynx Drinks, Fred Evanko, joining us from Connecticut. Fred, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Very well. Good to hear from you back in New England, where my family is as well, too. You and I actually had a unique connection in Florida down at the PGA show in January. And funny thing in common is that we have a connection to Quinnipiac University, which we're always talking about and working into the podcast however we can. But you're a Quinnipiac dad. How did your son land there?
Yeah, I love that connection, right? I mean, that's what networking is all about. I mean, listen, I don't know about you, but that's definitely how I remembered you. My son loves it. It's a great school for him. Maybe it's a little too close now that he's older, right? He wants to be further away from his parents, but great school. Love the campus. He's a film major. It's a perfect fit for him. And not a bad perk that the hockey team's doing well.
I know, right? Yeah, we are always rooting on the winter sports, which we were particularly fond of. I know you're in the bottom left corner of Connecticut there. Is he staying full time at Quinnipiac, or is he going to school and commuting?
Yeah, full time. He's been full time all along. I mean, last year was interesting. So he's a junior. So March of his freshman year is when everything kind of shut down. Yeah. So last year was interesting for everyone, but this year's been pretty much back to normal. Yeah, he's there full time, and he's on the upper campus near the stadium. So yeah,
he's close to the family, but he's definitely living on campus. I love that. He's getting the full experience.
Awesome.
Love that connection. It was really cool to connect with you. And I know we talked about about your background in golf as well too. The game's been around you your entire life. We're very similar in that the elder statesmen in our family were playing the game, and then that's how we knew it growing up. What were your first memories of playing the game as a kid?
So, well, the connection, like you mentioned, my grandfather was a PGA professional, club pro in the area at Ridgeway Country Club, which is no longer. Also, Innis Arden in Greenwich, and then down in Florida during the winters. That was kind of the role back then. You know, he did play in PGA Championship, British Open, I believe, U.S. Open, no Masters.
Very cool.
But yeah, so a couple of buddies, they say it's in the lineage or in the blood, but I don't know if it passed down, unfortunately, to my game. But first memories are actually playing with my father at a course in Stamford. You know, he with my brother and a couple other little league guys. I think 13, 14, somewhere around then. I mean, I didn't play as much back then. I wasn't as into golf, other sports then, but. But yeah, probably around that age. And I remember my grandfather, you know, he passed away when I was a freshman in high school, so wasn't around long enough. But I do remember him giving me a quick little lesson on the side of our house one summer. So that's kind of a neat.
Very cool. Yeah, I know we've had it around in our entire life, definitely. And growing up with the game as well, too. So those are your first memories of golfing. Now I'm curious, before we get to everything surrounding Lynx Drinks and you're creating that brand, how about without maybe incriminating yourself too much, how about your first memories of maybe drinking or alcohol on the golf course? What did that look like for you?
Oh, good question. Good question. Drinking alcohol on the course, I'm not sure if I remember that. I mean, drinking alcohol, I remember the first time I had beer out of the trunk of a friend's car, a cooler in his car down at the beach.
Of course.
During your senior year, junior year during high school, maybe it was, but on the golf course, man, I don't really remember. I mean, my memory would be more of like some golf trips going to Myrtle Beach with a few of my buddies during the winter months. You know, you're going down there and a combination of golf and drinking, you know, in my 20s. So that's probably my best. That's probably the best I can recollect. Good question.
No problem. I'll make it easier for you with the next one, though. I'm really curious because
give me some lights.
I've seen the word and the term transfusion around the golf community for a while. Well, what were your earliest memories, and how do you remember first learning about the transfusion cocktail itself as it pertains to kind of golf culture?
Yeah, I'd want to say I recollect it way back before, you know, I came up with the idea, but not that much before, to be honest with you. So I work for this small startup golf technology company in the event management space. 2014, and I was going to a lot of corporate and charity events, and that's where I really remember the cocktail being, you know, prevalent. They're drinking it like crazy at these golf events. And then another buddy of mine here in Fairfield, I remember him telling the story about being at a tournament drinking a transfusion. And then I think that's kind of when I started to drink it, 2014 or so.
Yeah.
Didn't come up with the idea until 3-4 years after that. But that's really my first recollection, you know, vivid. I know I heard about the drink before that. I knew of the drink. I may or may not have had it a couple of times before that at some tournaments, but that's definitely the most vivid.
Yeah, and as it pertains to kind of where we sit right now, I feel like as golf on social media and the internet and golf content really rose, I heard the term transfusion being thrown around a lot more for the younger generation of golfers that are out on the course right now. And, you know, just from my position as a person who has drank on the course, it's interesting because, you know, beers are kind of the standard on the golf course, but they can get heavy at times and they can be a little hard on the system. Yeah. Then there's kind of on the opposite end, there's hard alcohol that you can kind of lose your game a little bit quickly though. And that's a steep slope there. Yeah. So I'm curious, what was the goal? Was it to create maybe something right in between? Cause that's kind of where I see, you know, Link's drinks and the transfusion sitting for a golfer that's looking to have a little edge and a little fun on the course.
I wouldn't say that was the goal. No. Real quick, back to your recollection of drinking on the course. Probably why I don't recollect much is I was just thinking of a few right now. I really do not play well when I start to have more than
I was going
to
ask what the sweet spot was to you. Yeah.
My sweet spot, or, you know, where you play better, yeah. Probably two, maybe three, or if I stretch it out. But if I go, you know, those charity events, forget it. I'm good for about six holes.
Amen to that.
The goal was not any of that, actually. I mean, the goal, quite honestly, I don't know if I would have done it if it wasn't this, you know, perfect scenario. You know, the drink already existed, so came up with the idea to put it in a can. And we were the first ones to do that. And I said, you know, it wasn't like we just had another, no offense to any other drink out there, but not, you know, there's a ton of craft beers and seltzers. It wasn't just another one of those. I was like, hey, we're the first ones to do this, and we already have a built-in audience of people that like this cocktail, community of people that know the drink. And then, so that I liked. And then the upside, I thought, was that if, you know, you ask 9 out of 10 golfers or people, they never heard of the drink. So the goal was just, hey, we came up with this idea, and I couldn't find anybody to talk me out of it. And you know, only so often do you have that light bulb moment that you really feel like you should.
Nice. So yeah, for everyone who doesn't understand or know the transfusion, it's quite simple. It's a combination of grape juice, ginger flavor, and vodka, and you canned it into Link's drinks, which we're talking about right now with Fred Ivanko, the founder. So between those ingredients, what was the process like kind of creating the mix or the balance? How much tinkering was done in the actual drink creation itself?
A lot of back and forth. So it probably took us 6 months longer than it should have. I think we could have done it in 6 months. It took us almost a year. We essentially took the drink, you know, vodka, ginger ale, grape juice, made, you know, our homemade versions. Some people switch out different ingredients instead of ginger ale. Maybe they use Fresca or whatever. We just did a bunch of different versions of the drink, had some friends over, and we worked with a flavor house, and they gave us samples, and then we just continually tweaked it. A little bit more of this, less grape, more grape, stronger alcohol, less alcohol, all of that, until we felt we had the perfect recipe. And perfect to us was everyone that we had try it said it was delicious. Now, you know, I tried to make sure they were honest. I, you know, friends, family, said, listen, tell us if you think it's gross, you know? So we got to the point that we probably overanalyze it, but to the point that we felt it was as good as we could make it without, you know, going on forever and ever.
Very cool. So, I love that story. And man, I wish I could have been part of that focus group. I'm sure they had a lot of fun.
No, geez, I wish you could have done it for us.
Oh man, Fred, that's great. I'm curious, you know, when you visit trade shows and you're constantly showing the product off and promoting it and increasing distribution every day, What are the like fun or most surprising or entertaining reactions you get from golfers or just drinkers in general when they first lay their hands on the product?
Excellent question, because we do get a lot of good feedback like that, that I'm, every time we come back from an event, we're talking about it. I'd say, first and foremost, we get, and I'm not boasting, but 99 out of 100 people tell us it's delicious and dangerous, because you don't really, sometimes you just don't taste the alcohol and it sneaks up on you. So we get delicious and dangerous, but we also do get a lot of people come up and say, actually, that's pretty good. You know, and then they drink more and they go, wow, that's really good. You know, because they're not, I mean, I guess there's still a stigma behind canned cocktails, although they're certainly much more popular now than ever. So we get that a fair amount.
Actually, I'm a golfer as well too. And I agree with that sentiment. I am not a big drinker of grape flavored cocktails. I don't really generally put ginger ale in cocktails either, but for some reason the mix works together. So I think I would be in that well actually crowd that you're referring to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was going to say, I did a tournament last summer and guy came over and he was like, listen, I'm a big transfusion guy. I only drink Jenny, the bartender's transfusion. And he's like, but I'll try. And he's like, actually, that's pretty good. And he walks away. Came back 10 minutes later for another one. He goes, yeah, you know, that's really good. And then he came back 15 minutes later for another one. He's like, this is going to be my new favorite summer drink at this course.
That's how you win the fans over. Love it. We're chatting with Freddie Vanko, one half as well. Shout out Denise, who helps you out with Links Drinks on IG and linksdrinks.com. Let's get into some randomness. Your background is very intriguing. And then I saw you've had a brief play with a career in acting, and you even got a role alongside Bill Murray and Melissa McCarthy on the set of St. Vincent. Tell me everything. How did that role come to fruition? And first, where did you get this random little acting bug all of a sudden?
Look at you with the homework. I like it. You know, you have no secrets with the internet.
Absolutely not.
Right?
No.
It is an interesting story. I don't want to be a downer, but if you saw on our website, my wife and I, who I did start the business with, my wife, Denise, she's the creative side, came up with the name Links Drinks and the packaging. And she, like you mentioned, she does our social media and our website and our marketing. But if you did check out our website, we did lose a child to cancer. We lost our daughter, Grace, to a brain tumor at the age of 10 back in 2013. And the reason I bring it up is because it's tied to your story. This is the truth. After her funeral, you have like an after party, I guess you call it,
right?
You know, gathering at a restaurant. I was just having a really, heavy conversation with one of my best friends from high school, guy who was in my wedding party. And, one of those, like, what does it all mean? What's life all about? What am I going to do with my life kind of stuff? And, him and I were extras in a movie back in high school for a movie called Scenes from a Mall. They just happened to be at the Stanford Mall. We went down there and, I got like a tiny, tiny little background, extra thing. And he was in it for a little while, but we always had that little bit of a connection. And I said, oh, maybe I'll get into acting, jokingly. Turns out his brother worked for a production company, Weinstein Company, actually, at the time. And he was like, maybe I can get you an extra gig. I'm like, sure. So anyways, brother called me out of the blue. He said, hey, there's a movie in New York. Send a photo. I sent a photo in. Next thing you know, I got called for an audition. I went in. I auditioned with the director and the casting people. I mean, this director, Ted Melfi, for a lawyer and a bartender. I did okay. Long story short, they cast me as the extra bartender, lawyer. So no speaking role. I had a line.
I was wondering.
I did that. And then after that, I was like, hey, now what do I do with this? That was kind of pretty cool. So I went, did some research, and I found a company online where you could go audition for agents. So I went into the city in New York and did an audition for a bunch of agents and got an agent. I ended up doing a bunch of commercials and stuff like that for a couple of years. That was kind of how that started. And how that came about.
I love the messaging behind everything that had happened with the adversity in your life too, and just kind of really just grabbing life's opportunities and moments and going for what you truly want. I do also want you to mention that a portion of everything you guys do with Lynx Drinks goes back to the foundation for your daughter as well too. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, not to our daughter. Well, right now the focus is more on pediatric cancer, but the goal is to, you know, as we grow the business, to grow where we give back. And, you know, listen, in a perfect world, I'd like to do what others did for us and just give cash to a family in need, things like that. But, yeah, right now it's core focus is pediatric cancer. And we used to do a charity tournament for Make-A-Wish. So we like to donate to Make-A-Wish. But, yeah, not necessarily her foundation. But
very cool. Appreciate what you're doing. And I really appreciate what you're doing, and I really do love the story and everything that the brand's been through. Shout out to what you and Denise are doing every day to make Lynx Drinks great, and all the people you're benefiting as well too. Tell everyone a little bit about where Lynx Drinks is available now, and where people can buy them if they're interested in the product.
Yeah, so we launched in the summer of 2019 here in Connecticut, and we about 24 months with, you know, pandemic and a couple of winters, we're now in 16 states and over a couple thousand locations. If you go on our website, linkstrings.com, we have a full list of where you can buy, but, you know, we're in all the Total Wine chain stores in all the states that we're in, and places like Stu Leonard's and Trader Joe's, and got some really cool golf courses carrying our product like Wingfoot, Bethpage, Altistrol.
Very cool. We've got some U.S. Open venues there.
Yeah, right. That wasn't the goal. It's nice. But yeah, so you can full list on our website. And if you like our product and you shop with somewhere and they don't carry it, please ask them to pick it up.
Absolutely. Love that. And one thing I did see on the website is it looks like there is more to come, maybe a little bit more of an expanded flavor profile beyond the original grape. What does that look like potentially for you guys?
Yeah. So we have two new flavors coming out this year, rolling out in May. We're going to have right now we have the classic transfusion, which, as we've said, is vodka, ginger ale, grape juice. And we are coming out with the front nine transfusion, which is vodka, ginger ale, and orange juice. And then the back nine transfusion, which is vodka, ginger ale, and cranberry.
Nice flavors. Okay. Love the front nine, back nine branding as well. Good stuff.
You got to give credit to Denise, the wife, for that.
I figured there's no way that was your idea, right? It had to have been her.
Come on. What do you mean? Listen, I didn't give her too much. You know what? They did it. We had an article in Forbes when we first launched. And I mentioned Denise, everything, he didn't put her name in there. So ever since, I constantly make sure I overpromote. I'm a little creative too.
Love it, Fred. Oh, good stuff. Hey, Fred, let's wrap up with our 19th hole question. We present it every week by Lynx Drinks. So a better person asks than the man himself. The question is surrounding your favorite thing to have when you finish a round of golf on the course. Obviously, if we're heading into a wonderful clubhouse like Wingfoot, it's definitely going to be a Lynx Drinks for the drink choice. But what's like your go-to meal after a day on the golf course?
Right, so we can't just say the transfusion because that's
too obvious.
We got that
for the drink, but what's going to be the food that's going down in the 19th hole?
I mean, is it 19th hole or just after golf, during golf, or is it, you know? I'm going hot dog at the halfway house is what I'm eating. I mean, after golf, I don't know. You're not eating wings. I'm a hot dog guy. I'm going hot dog on the golf course.
Yeah, can't hate that. A classic American move. Love the dog anywhere on the course. Great stuff, Fred. Really appreciate you taking the time to be on the Course of Life. Again, it's Fred Evanko, Lynx Drinks. Check them out in stores and let us know how you love the drink out there. Thanks again for joining, Fred.
Great. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
And we're back. Great chat there with Fred. Really inspiring story. And really, you know, I think it's important to make sure you're doing something you think is important and you're passionate about. And he certainly was able to find that after everything that happened to him in his life. And that's fantastic.
Man. If you're not smiling, if you're not doing things that are making you happy on a daily basis, like, I don't know how you're getting by. So you got to live the life that you have. And obviously it was some horrible circumstances that led Fred to where he was with his business, but it was an opportunity he had to take. And it's a really cool story of a company being born, and neat to see that they're expanding out with new flavors as well too. And I truly do love the drink. So check out Lynx Drinks in a store near you. And if you like that conversation or anything else coming your way in this episode or anything in the past you've checked out, be sure to subscribe. We're on every podcast platform. You're listening to us right now in a spot where you could probably subscribe as well. So be sure to click in 3, 2, 1. Thank you. Thanks for clicking. Well done. I appreciate your service.
Let's talk March Madness, Alex. And let me just say that I called it. Coach K was going to lose one way or the other. And man, did he ever.
Yes, he did. In ultimate heartbreak, the UNC Tar Heels, Mike.
And you know, it's How fitting sweet. That Coach K's first loss of his career, I believe, when he was at Duke, was to UNC.
Oh, no.
His last loss at Cameron Indoor was to UNC. Oh, no. And now his very last game and his last loss of all time comes against UNC.
They say that deaths come in threes, don't they?
Yeah.
Wow. So UNC truly ripped out his heart with that Final Four victory and served it on a platter, regardless of what even happened Monday night. It doesn't even matter. The storyline here is that Coach K goes out in like the ultimately ironically horrible way with just two absolutely devastating losses to his arch rival. And you got to know, and you and I aren't even Tar Heels fans, but you got to know, if you're a Tar Heels fan right now, just ear to ear grin at what you've just done to your arch rival. That's a permanent stab wound in this rivalry.
It is. It really is. I don't know if Duke will ever come back from this.
Yeah, that's tough to recover from.
It's pretty rough. Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, brought to you by our friends at Toasty Snacks, makers of the Toasty Super Bites and Toasty Bites. We love them. They're great on the go. Healthy snacks. Check out toasty.com/COL, promo code COL20. Mike, I'll let you lead the way.
Yeah, I made a twist on a favorite, and that was challah rolls. I made a dark chocolate chip and craisin challah roll with a orange sugar topping to them, and they were pretty good. They need some work, but they were pretty good.
Love that cranberry orange combo. I'm a big fan of that. It's an underrated flavor combo too.
Yeah, with chocolate in there as well. They were pretty good. They were a little heavy. I think there was a little bit too much flour in this dough that I made this time, so I just got to work on that. And but they were really good with some honey drizzled on top, give them a little bit more sweetness. They were pretty fantastic. They were pretty good.
Nice. Challah indeed. I was having a lot of fun posting Instagram stories at Always End with Food Pod, just because there's a million hip hop songs with the lyrics or word or title challah in them. So whenever you're making challah, it's very easy content for me. Just so you know,
it's true. let's talk though, Alex, about your Tuesday and how much money do you have devoted to food at the Masters? Because I expect you to buy one of everything.
Yep, we're gonna break down the menu in a second, but first we have breaking news.
What is it?
All right, breaking news. Mike Opinion, good friend David, has arrived at the Airbnb, found out that past guest of the Airbnb, ready for this, Matt Kuchar stayed in the house last year.
Okay. Ooh.
Not that. It's pretty close to the course, by the way. Michael Phelps 3 years ago.
Wow.
Maybe signed the guest book or something. I'm going to have to ask for more proof, but I'm very excited about this news. So I just had to share with everybody.
Did they leave anything behind? Because that would be...
Maybe a medal or two? Nice. I mean, yeah. He has so many of them, right?
He probably forgets them all over the place.
So the digs are pretty nice this week. So looking forward to that. But yeah, let's get to the Masters menu. I sent it your way. We'll post it as well at Always End with Food Pod on Instagram and also at COL Podcast. But yeah, basically, I got no budget, so I can try whatever I can. But really, what's the game plan for me, Mike, when you look at the Masters menu? I'm getting in there bright and early when the gates open at 6:59 a.m., and breakfast is served until 10 a.m. So what's your go-to? What's your play for the breakfast menu at Augusta National?
Well, we're getting some coffee. We're getting a couple cups of coffee. Yep. You're getting you know, a biscuit sandwich. You're going to go true Southern. You're going to get a chicken biscuit.
Yeah, I'm going to go chicken because sausage. Nah, I'd prefer the chicken biscuit. Okay.
Yeah. And you need some fresh mixed fruit for $2 just to help, you know, give you some vitamins and energy going into the morning.
I've heard the blueberry muffins are good, but I don't necessarily need one. So I agree with that order. It's going to be coffee, chicken, mixed fruit. Okay, we got that sorted out. So now as we head towards lunch now, there's a lot of sandwich options right here. Yeah. In my head, I'm going to be able to try three or four and really not anymore. So what are you looking at?
Okay, first of all, I do not like egg salad. I don't want it. So I know that's like something that's supposed to be really good
no,
at Augusta.
Amen. No egg salad, cross it out. We're doing pimento for sure. What else we got?
Yes, pimento cheese is a must. Their barbecue sandwich is a must. The club is supposed to be really good too, right? That they got there. So I'm guessing
they're getting that too. Master Club for no reason, right?
Exactly. After that, I think it's a toss up from looking at everything else. Everything else looks pretty standard. Grilled chicken wrap, classic chicken sandwich, ham and cheese, turkey and cheese.
What do you comes with the ham and cheese, the turkey and cheese? Do you think it's as plain and Jane as they say, or do you think there's more to it?
You know, this is Augusta. I expect the entire works on everything here.
For $2.50?
The money's coming from the TV deals, not from the food.
All right, so that's the breakfast and lunch. And then as we go to the bottom here, there are more options. There's beverages and snacks. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Not quite, but close. Yeah. What do you like here on the bottom half of the Augusta National menu for my Tuesday game plan?
Well, definitely a Georgia pecan caramel popcorn and the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, that's amazing. A Georgia peach ice cream sandwich. That and the pimento cheese are kind of the two in my head that are like, I know I've made it if I get both of these. So I'm very excited about that in particular as well, too. And definitely going to be getting beers, Mike, and you'll appreciate this. I may even end up just freaking pouring one out. I just want to keep all the cups because like I want to keep as many cups as I can from my visit, my day there. So we'll try at least a beer and get a beer review during the day.
I do have to give you some bad news, though, even though we both said we're looking forward to you having it. And that is that I thought I had saw this somewhere, so I just double checked it. The Georgia peach ice cream sandwich is not happening this year.
Oh, no. OK. All right. Thank you for telling me now. So that way I'm not brokenhearted on Tuesday. OK, I'll plan accordingly. I'll go more sandwich heavy then.
Yeah, they're having sourcing issues, could not get it for you, but everything else is on the menu there. So I expect good Polaroid photos of these things.
Yeah, Kodaks, baby. Love yeah. It. Apparently there's some issue with TSA and like the film and these Kodak cameras where I need to like hand it to a guy and like he'll look at it separately so it doesn't go through the scanner. Have you heard of this before?
I mean, film in general, when it goes through an X-ray scanner, it can have issues. So,
yeah. So I'm going to be taking precautions to get my Kodaks accordingly to Augusta National. This is the world we're living in. But hey, it's for a master's trip. So that's a wrap on this week's Course of Life. Next week, we'll have my full master's recap and a recap of everything that happened tournament week as well. And a great interview with a name that went viral before social media coming up next week on the Course of Life.